So we're just going to encourage you to watch this video, this faith story from Sarah, and then Scott will be on to share with you after that.
I'm Sarah Beckman, and this is my hope story. Probably one of the hardest nights as a mom that I've ever had. I was finishing up dinner as a normal Monday, and I heard this scream coming from the basement, and I ran downstairs, and I realized that my son, Jack, who's 6, and Hazel, who's 3, had been playing downstairs, and I think Jack had turned on the treadmill to, like, the very top speed, and Hazel had been behind it, and I guess she managed to roll on a toy and got her arm wedged against the running treadmill. Actually, what had happened is that the treadmill belt had sanded off her skin all the way down to like a deeper layer of skin. I called the pediatrician, told her exactly what happened, and she said, go to the emergency room. So we had a 4-hour wait to get into a room, and then we were in there for another 4 hours. And they said that she needed to be treated at an actual burn center for an injury that deep. So we picked Johns Hopkins Pediatric Burn Center. As soon as the doctor walked in the door, they said, oh, another treadmill burn. And I guess this is really common now that they're seeing these injuries, and probably especially because of the pandemic, people are working out more at home. But they said, we'll watch and see, come back in a couple of days. And then it was come back in a week, and then it was come back in a week, and then it was send us pictures every day. And thankfully, Hazel was able to heal it over on her own. It was hard on me to watch her go through it. And she seemed to handle it like a champ. So far, she's just kind of accepted it. And I admire her for that. So I felt sort of in my own universe while this was all happening. I would pray about it, but I wouldn't really expect God to intervene and do anything on my behalf. I knew a lot of other people were praying about it, and that made me feel really good, like maybe they could pick up my slack for my lack of faith in the moment. But it wasn't necessarily at a high point with the Lord. I just felt like He's there, He cares. I don't know why He's allowing this to happen. The mental journey that I feel like I need to fully process and get through is that to be okay with trusting that bad things happen in this world, and to know that this is not our home, that heaven is beyond this, and that all things will be made right. And again, that is huge hope that we have as Christians that others necessarily they don't have. Because we went through this, that it opens us up to a whole other group of people who've gone through something similar that we wouldn't have been able to connect with them genuinely before. And there's nothing like I've been through it, a me too. And so in that, there's an opportunity I know that God can help us connect with other people. And I have anticipatory hope that something's going to come out of this, that Hazel's scar is going to connect her with other kids somehow, and it will make her more resilient as a person to have gone through something like this and come out the other side. And so I have lots of hope that God is going to continue to use this, even if it's hard right now and I can't see the whole story arc right now. That is such a blessing as a follower of Jesus to know that none of it will be wasted. I have hope that He can take any bad circumstance, any suffering, any terrible thing that even happens to my kids, which is worse than what could happen to me, and He can use it to create good out of that situation, beauty.
Hi, Calvary Online. My name's Scott. I'm one of the gathering pastors here at Calvary, and I just want to say thank you for giving us some time and letting us into your home today. We are still kind of wrapping up, putting the finishing touches on the 50 Days of Hope, the Hope Challenge, and so today I'm going to be talking to you in the area of hope. Specifically, I've titled my message, A Hope for Change. Now, I know that we're almost to the end of January, several weeks past the first of the year, but I want to share with you a few thoughts I had as we were first getting started into 2022. Now, I know that many of us, myself included, we've joked about how we wanted to put 2021 in the rearview mirror, and really 2020 even before that. But as we were starting into 2022, I was thinking about the things that I wanted to see change. I think that a new year kind of lends itself to that. Things that I want to see change in myself, in my family, things I want to see change in my neighborhood, even in my church, and maybe even in the world. I think that's the root of the New Year's resolutions. They are the things that we want to see change. So far since Christmas, a few of my family have had COVID. You may have heard me already talk about this earlier in the time I was spending with Sean and Pastor Dan. Thea fell in the garage, sprained her ankle. Kayla jacked up her knee in gym class. We had a pipe freeze just a couple days ago. I've never had that happen before. It was just, you know, fire hose spraying water all over our garage. I'm ready for some of the rhythms of this new year to change in my family already, I can tell you that. But I'm not just talking about circumstances. I'm all for seeing the change in circumstances. There may be circumstances in your life that you want to see change, but I'm not talking just that. I'm talking heart change, life change in us individually, in us corporately, and beyond into our neighborhoods. I think that we all, whether we made any New Year's resolutions or not, have a tendency to see the things in our lives that we want to see change, and a brand new year seems like a really decent time to implement some of those changes. The idea of hope ties strongly with the idea of change. Those who followed along during the 50 days of hope have seen the natural connection between hope and change. Hope contains change. By cultivating hope in our hearts, we're cultivating the faith to believe that things don't have to stay as they are right now. Our relationships with Christ can deepen and become more meaningful. That's one place that we could see change. Our neighbors and coworkers, family that don't know Christ, they don't have to remain unreconciled with God. That's an area that we can see change. Broken relationships can be restored, and on and on and on. And our God is the unchanging one who changes everything. He doesn't change, but he changes everything around him. What a statement of hope. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power hasn't lessened over the years or decades or centuries. His hearing isn't muffled. His sight hasn't dimmed. His love is still unconditional. His grace is fully sufficient, and his mercy is still brand new every single morning. Because this is the God we serve, we can hold on to hope. As I was thinking about this idea of a changeless God who changes everything around him, I started thinking about the verses that we're going to be reading here in just a minute that are found in Philippians chapter 1. So it's Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'm just going to take a minute and read them now. So this is written by Paul to the church in Philippi, and he introduces the letter by saying this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, there's three things that I want to point out to you from these verses that kind of have to do with this hope that we're able to have, and specifically the hope for change. The first thing is that God will finish what he started. I'm sure that most of us have heard the saying that if we're still alive, God isn't done. He's still at work in and around your life for your good and for his glory. I recently spoke with somebody, and I shared this briefly earlier, that was talking about the 50 days of hope, who was talking about God speaking to them in an area of hope that was in the midst of pain and loss, in the midst of some of the hardest times. you know, the struggles that come from just living in a broken world. And they're seeing how God is able to turn graves into gardens. Pain, hurt, loss, sickness, none of those things stop God from continuing his work. Paul says here that he was confident that God would carry this work on to completion. This knowledge doesn't just give us hope for our own personal lives, but it can give us hope for the body of Christ as a whole. Without doubt, God is at work in the life of his church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will accomplish his good purposes. So we have hope that God is still at work. No matter what it is that you're dealing with right now, whether life in the new year is off to a fantastic start, whether you're in the midst right now of some of the hardest times that you can remember, God is at work. And we can have that hope and hold on to the hope that he has not tapped out. He has not given up. His eyes and his mind, his thoughts have not shifted away from you onto other things. He knows you and he sees you and he is at work in your life. The second one is changing into the image of Christ. So we have the hope of change. That's the title. We have the hope that God is still at work, and the change comes in the fact that we're being transformed into the image of Christ. This statement speaks to the reality that we do, in fact, need to change. When you talk about being transformed into the image of Christ or conformed into the image of Christ, there's nothing to be transformed or conformed into if we don't ourselves already need to change. If you've been paying attention to the way in which Christians have responded to one another during this time of COVID and vaccination and masks or not masks, let alone the way that we've responded to the outside world, you'll have a nearly impossible time in trying to make the case in the other direction that we don't need to change. That we don't individually and corporately need to be conformed more into the image of Christ. As Pastor Dan has pointed out already, there were other times in the history of the church where it had to walk through times of persecution or even plague, sicknesses, things that are similar to COVID. And oftentimes the unbelieving world had a greater respect for the church based on how well the church loved and sacrificed and served in the midst of those trying times. And that does not seem to be the case today. I don't know that the outside world looking in, who's watching the church, if they are going to have more respect for us as we come out of this COVID pandemic as they did when we went in. We've been quick to attack one another based on preferences and opinions, and the world has been watching. Look at Paul's prayer in verses 9 through 11 and see if it sounds as relevant to the church today as it was when Paul first prayed it. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, to know what's best, and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." To hold on to the hope of change, there must be a realization of the necessity of change. And then you combine that with the hope that God is at work. And so we recognize we need to change, but there's hope that that change will happen because God has not ceased in his good work. The third thing I wanted to point out from these verses is that we're changed in the context of community. Five different times in this translation, the NIV, in the course of just these 11 verses, we see Paul say something along the lines of "all of you" as he talks about his love for them, all of them, as he's praying and sharing about God's grace and the way he prays for all of you. When Paul uses the words "you" and "your" in the context of these verses, they're a corporate sense, not you individually, but you as the church. So as we look at our hope to see change in our lives and in the life of the church, it is by God's own design within the context of the community of Christ that that change happens. When Paul is praying for an increasing knowledge and depth of insight regarding God's love, he's talking corporately that we as the body of Christ would grow in our knowledge and depth of insight regarding God's love for us and God's love for our neighbors, God's love for the world around us that doesn't see things the way that we do. This disunity that we see within the body of Christ, that's why the disunity is such a hard thing. It's such a sad thing to see, is because God has created his church to be united. No one person can represent the fullness of Christ. It is only the church as the body of Christ that can be the representation, the full representation of Christ that the Father wants the world to see, that our neighbors are hungry to see, that the world is hungry to see. And it is within the context of the body of Christ that we are being formed, transformed, purified, and matured. The church is the hope of the world because it is the church, the body of Christ, that carries the gospel and presence of God to a broken world. So what is it that can keep us from holding on to the hope of change? So we recognize that God wants to cultivate this hope within us. Why is it that we can be given such promises of hope and yet struggle to be all that God has called us to be? Where do we lose our grip on the hope that's being offered to us? There's a couple different things that have come to mind. There's two specifically that I want to hit on, but there's more than just this. So be open to whatever the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. Ask Him maybe even what has caused you. If you feel like you've lost your grip on hope, that it's just not something that is currently present in your life, even at the end of these 50 days of hope and this hope challenge, if you still feel like your hope, your grasp on hope is a slippery grasp, you know, take the time to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that's making it so difficult for you to hold on to hope, because our God is a hope-giving God. And I believe that we are meant to be, by God's design, a hope-filled people. Not people that don't have to go through hard times, not people that don't have to struggle through loss of life, loss of friends, loss of relationships, loss of jobs or financial security, loss of control. It's not that we're, able to just avoid all of those things. We go through all that. That's life in a broken, sin-fallen world. But in the midst of all that, we're to be a hope-filled people. And so a couple things that came to mind, questions that I want to ask and that you can just kind of give some thought to is, one, are you submitted to the change? You know, we talked earlier that we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. There is a change that has to happen in our lives individually, in our church corporately. God is still at work and has not given up on us. He's not given up on you. He's always at work in good times and bad, conforming us to the image of His Son. But we can't simply sit back and wait for the process to be completed without owning our piece in that process. We must keep our hearts open and humble before God, submit ourselves to His will and the work of the Holy Spirit. The I in our I Hope acronym, if you've been looking in the Hope journals, stands for immerse ourselves in God's Word and God's story. As we immerse ourselves in His story, in Scripture, we'll see the areas of our hearts and lives, individually and again, corporately, that don't align with the heart of Christ. And when we see those areas of misalignment, where my heart doesn't align with His, those are the points of transformation that we want to see happen. And then we can pray, even repent accordingly. So have you submitted yourself to the change that God wants to work in your heart and life? Are you seeing areas in the church where we're not submitted to the change that God wants to do? Whether it's repenting for your own personal sin or repenting for what you see in the body of Christ on a whole, when you see those areas that we're not submitted, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come in, repent, even on behalf of the church. And I believe that God will hear and answer and honor those prayers. The second question I want to ask is, are you pursuing change alone? Each of us was saved into the body of Christ. As I pointed out, how many times just in these 11 verses that Paul again and again is talking about all of you, his prayer is for all of them, the things that God is doing, the transforming work, it's in the context of the entire body of Christ. If we try to live out the Christian life detached from the body, we are trying to change outside of God's best design. He hasn't changed us to live life individually. Honestly, he hasn't even done this work in us and called us to live life just connected only to Him. We're connected to one another within the context of the body of Christ. We need each other. We've been saved into the body of Christ because of our need for one another. God is still doing His good work. So don't give up. Lean in. Find the hope that He's offering you. There's a hope story coming up here in just a minute. It's the story of Dean. He's on his way to visit his mom who's sick and dying of cancer. And in the midst of all the emotions that are coming up with that, in the midst of this story and not even knowing exactly how the story is going to be complete, it's definitely a hope story in progress. But he's going to share with us where he's hearing the voice of God, where he's finding hope, even in the midst of a difficult situation. So let's share that video and be encouraged by this.
I'm Dean Christian, and this is my hope story. Now, I'm usually the guy behind the camera recording the story, not the guy telling the story. But it's a good exercise, I think, for each of us to pause and think about where we are drawing our hope from and what opportunities we have to offer hope to others. So let me tell you what's going on. I grew up in New Zealand, and that's where I am at the moment. Well, more specifically, I'm in quarantine in New Zealand, unable to leave my hotel room for 10 whole days. Now, that's all part of making sure there isn't a major COVID outbreak in New Zealand. But if I could, you betcha, I'd be out of here so much quicker. I really want to see my family, and especially my mum. You see, mum went into hospital here just after Christmas with some breathing issues. Suddenly, the doctors were talking about scans, then a biopsy, and then came the cancer diagnosis. And within a matter of days, it progressed quickly to hospice care, with a life expectancy for her of less than 6 weeks. And that was if she was lucky. Mum's condition seems like a pretty hopeless situation. Like, what? God, what are you doing? But here's where I've been drawing my hope from. You see, this did not take God by surprise. Could God change the outcome and extend Mum's life by another 5 or 10 years? Sure, you betcha, he could. But will I still love and trust him if he does not? Yes, I choose to still love and trust him even if he doesn't extend Mum's life. You see, it's one thing for me to say that I trust God when things are going my way, but I believe my relationship with him is growing even more through this tough time than it has in the last year of not so tough times. And honestly, it's not growing because I'm reading and praying more and more, because honestly, I've been crying more than I've been praying or reading recently. But God has been letting me exercise my trust muscle. You know how muscles work. The more we work out, the more our muscles grow. So in the same way, the more I'm trusting God, the more my trust in God grows. Just a few minutes ago, I got off the phone with a hospice nurse. She doesn't know if Mum will still be with us in the 10 days it'll take me to get out of quarantine. But in all of this, I choose to trust God with the timing, knowing that God got me here for a purpose, and my faith and trust in him is not determined by whether or not things have happened the way that I would have planned them. And perhaps that's the hope that I'll be able to share with someone in the days to come.